It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
I've spoken about how that man has always tried to blame someone or something else for his or her problem. And this is not going to happen during the millennium. Man is not going to be able to do that. Man will not be able to blame the government because there will be a perfect government. There's going to be a theocracy. Jesus Christ will be reigning. He'll be ruling the world. Man will not be able to blame his problems or ignorance, because the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. There's not going to be any excuse for man not knowing who Jesus Christ is. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. I've made mention of this before, how that you and I who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we start wondering, well, what's it going to be like? And we can do that. We can think about what heaven's going to be like, and what eternity is going to be like, and what it's going to be like to be with our Lord. Now, we can think about these things, and we sometimes think, well, what are we going to do? Just float around? We're not going to do anything. Just walk around and enjoy the scenery. Well, the Bible teaches me that we're going to be studying under the greatest teacher who's ever lived. And that teacher is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. He knows everything. So that means he can teach us everything. And I believe we're still going to learn when we're with him. And we'll be doing that throughout all eternity. We'll never get tired of listening to our Savior speak. Well, there's other things that man cannot do. Man cannot blame certain things for his failures. And man will not be able to even to blame Satan, because during the 1,000 years, that's the millennium, Satan will have no influence over the earth. And yet men still will refuse to be saved. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Satan's going to be bound. He's not going to be able to influence people during the millennium. And the kingdom age demonstrates that man can point the finger of blame only at himself. Now, if the heart is not right before God, the best conditions in the world will not do any good. If the heart is right before God, the worst conditions in the world will not do any harm. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. It's what a man does with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what a man allows Jesus Christ to do with him. You see, it makes no difference who you are, what color you are, red, green, black, white, purple, orange, whatever color you are, or whatever race you are, man, woman, boy, or girl, it makes no difference. God says it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. We've all come short. It makes no difference. The person who's murdered someone, that person can be saved. It makes no difference how much sin a person has done in their life. That person can be saved. Once again, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. That means Jesus Christ would come in. Once you are serious with him, he gets serious with you, and he wants to save you. And he says, if you'll call upon me, I'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God cannot lie. That person today, you who are listening to me right now, you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by admitting you're a sinner and knowing that you can't save yourself. There's only one who can save you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You accept him by faith. Faith believing that he is God, that he is the Savior. Ask him to come into your heart today. Well, as we continue our study in the Bible concerning dispensations, looking at the millennium, what about sin and death during the millennium? Some people wonder about this. I wonder about things, and the way I find out things is getting into the Word of God. even during the kingdom age, that's the millennium, there will be some people who will outwardly do what is wrong. Well, what's going to happen? The king will bring swift punishment to people who apparently and visibly do what is wrong during the millennium. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20 says, there shall be no more offense an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Well, Isaiah 65 and verse 20 reveals that there will still be sin and death present during the millennium. That's still going to be there. Well, sin and death will not be present on the new earth, according to Revelation. I say glory to God to that. And we read about that in Revelation 21 and verse 4. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is not speaking of the millennium. This is speaking of eternity. The millennial and antediluvian ages are similar, but the new earth represents restoration of paradise before sin entered into the world. And notice that antediluvian is between the time when Adam and Eve were driven from the garden and Noah's flood. God loves mankind, and he's always given man an opportunity to know him and to serve him and be on their way to heaven. Well, there will be no rain as such as we study this. There'll be no rain for those nations who refuse to go to Jerusalem to worship the king during the millennium. You see, God will still be, he's in charge, and Jesus Christ is the ruler. And there's not going to be any rain for those nations who do not go to Jerusalem to worship the king. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. Now notice verse 17 of Zechariah 14. And it shall be that when that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, you know, even upon them shall be no rain. You see, God is not going to put up with any foolishness. Jesus Christ is God. He's not going to put up with any foolishness. And he's going to do things that will bring swift judgment upon those who refuse to do what is right. Well, during the kingdom age, it will not pay to disobey. Now, we read about Zechariah in Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah intimates that though God had been despised by of all the nations who opposed Jerusalem, in other words, came against, and you read about this Zechariah in chapter 14, verse 16 that we've read, his name would be sanctified. God's name will be sanctified. Jesus' name will be sanctified and adored. And also that if any deprived him of his legitimate worship, they would be visited with punishment. And this is going to happen. Plagues, and they'll be deprived of the blessing of the Lord. No rain. The rain, this is water. And I believe is part of the blessing for all those who come to Jerusalem once a year in the millennium to worship the king. They'll have plenty of water. They'll have plenty of rain. They'll see Jesus Christ. And that is the greatest reward, we might say, during that time. For those who are living, there'll be people living on this earth during the millennium, and they'll have the privilege of seeing Jesus Christ himself. Now, we're alive right now. We're human right now. We're alive. We don't have our new bodies yet, those of us who are saved. We are here now, and it would be like us seeing Jesus Christ in person in this human body that we have. Well, that's what it's going to be for those people who are living during the millennium. Human beings, they'll be able to see Jesus Christ, the King. And people in the millennium will still grow gardens and have livestock and so forth. They're going to carry on and take care of God's economy. Remember, that's what a dispensation is, it's God and man, not man alone and not God alone. It's man and God together. What about the temple during the kingdom age? Yes, there will be a temple during the kingdom age. Now, there are Jewish temples built or rebuilt mentioned in the Bible, in history. And I'm going to mention only three here. These three temples were and will be on what is called the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. This is during the millennium now. Now, David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, but was denied this privilege, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 3. The temple was to replace the tabernacle, and the tabernacle represented a temporary dwelling place of God, and whereas the temple represented a permanent house for the Lord. Now notice that Solomon, David's son, was given the privilege of building the first temple for the Lord, 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. And you also read about that in 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 38. Well, we see that the Herodian temple was a rebuilding of the earlier temple by Herod the Great. And it was the magnificent structure that existed at the time of Jesus Christ. And the third temple, this will be the millennial temple. And in Ezekiel chapter 40, Ezekiel starts describing what the millennial temple will be like and the sacrifices that will be offered there. And this temple will dwarf all other temples. And notice the temple will be used to sacrifice. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 16 talks about this. The Feast of Tabernacles we observe during the millennium. And the more elaborate religious significance from the book of Leviticus is that of commemorating the Exodus and the dependence of the people of Israel on the will of God. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 42 and 43 says this, "Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, your God." Well, there's going to be several things that take place during the millennium. And this is one of the things the temple will be used to offer sacrifice. And this is the millennial temple. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is a very important feast because it pointed to Christ as the tabernacle, the dwelling place of his people. And note this, that the Feast of Tabernacles points to the beginning of a new world. The beginning of the new world is in the sense that mankind has been wandering in a world of sin since the fall of man in the garden. This wandering journey of mankind will finally end when man will enter into the world without end, and that is eternity. God loves you today, and he wants you to serve him. And the way you serve him first is by getting saved and accepting his free gift of salvation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.